Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this, well, slightly warm Monday morning as we head into the afternoon here on the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Well, the weather is hot, but outside theater and inside theater in the summer just is abounding this time of the year. I ought to know. I've done a lot of interviews and a lot more yet to come on all the events that are going on. One of the places we always manage to talk to every summer is the Leawood Stage Company, where this year they're presenting their musical Oliver. Yes, the story of those adorable little orphans. That's right. And with us to tell us all about the festivities down there in Ironwoods Park in the south part of Leawood is April Bishop, the cultural arts coordinator for the city of Leawood. She has come to talk about the theater. And Eric Van Horn, who in the past has been with us as a director, I believe. He has directed at the Barn, and as he put it, most area community theaters he has directed as well. But this year, he's on the stage himself, playing the role of Fagin. Yeah, the misunderstood fake. And my one of my comments to him was, oh, so you're the bad guy. And he goes, well, not necessarily. So we'll have to get an explanation of that as we go by. But the show is Oliver, and April Bishop, cultural arts coordinator, is with us. How many years now for the Leawood Stage Company?
This is our 17th summer.
Okay.
And the 11th year that we've been in Ironwoods Park.
And where were you before?
In back of City Hall.
Oh, really? Outside still, but in back of City Hall. Well, that area is a lot more built up now than it was
then.
Well,
there's not enough parking to make it happen today.
And some of your shows in the past, now that I remember it, have been inside Leawood City Hall.
We do. We do a spring show that has been inside City Hall every year. And then also we do a fall show that's in the park but inside the lodge.
Yeah, what was the thinking there? Because the county has a series of shows going on all summer, but Leawood, the city of Leawood, wanted to do one too?
That's true. We definitely thought that we could present a family atmosphere that maybe wasn't happening other places.
Now, Leawood Park, or Ironwoods Park, in the city of Leawood, it's down south a long way. As you keep going, I know the first time I went down there, which has been a number of years ago now, I kept going south, and I kept going south, and I kept going south, and I wasn't there yet. Have I passed it? No. Eventually got there.
That's right. Some people think that we're halfway to Oklahoma, but that's not the truth. It's not that far away.
And have you ever done Oklahoma?
We did do Oklahoma. Here's my first production as the director, producing director.
Yeah. Now, does the council pick the plays that you do? You do. I've seen your winter show in the lodge at Ironwoods Park.
Mm-hmm. And the board is the one that selects the season of shows.
Yeah, well, this year you picked Oliver.
Those
lovable orphans. Well, maybe not so lovable. Eric Van Horn is with us. He plays, I said, plays the role of Fagin. You know, these were all based on the writings of Charles Dickens. And this particular story was called Oliver Twist. Now, I must say, when you read that story, that's a lot more darker of a story than is actually presented with the musical on stage.
Correct. And after all, this is musical theater. So, yes, it is lightened up a bit and tells a story of hope. Of a young child lost in a world that is throwing him aside, but in the end finds a family.
Well, you've seen, most people have seen some kind of rendition of the Christmas Carol. No, that was another Dickens story, and this and Oliver, these are all typical of the kind of stories that he wrote. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some humor is added for at least the musical theater part.
Yeah, I mean, Oliver, the story was turned into keeping the main foundation of the story, but yet lightening it up so that it becomes more appealing to wider audiences and becomes a family classic.
Yeah, writing about orphanages, and in fact, comments in The Christmas Carol are made about orphans and things of that nature. So, and I must confess, I don't know what came first. I'll assume Christmas Carol probably became first, but I could be wrong about that. Mm-hmm. But that was his favorite subject matter to write about, and he did a very successful job of it. And you know, Hollywood and Broadway and the West End of England have turned these into musicals. So for those who are not familiar with the story at all, how did Oliver become an orphan? Do we know this?
His mother passed away, and he was dropped off at an orphanage without any information of who his family was.
So the orphans are there, and hence some of the famous songs. You know,
that's
food,
fair.
Glorious food is one. And then one of my favorite lines, can I add some more, please?
Right. Oliver bucks the system.
That's right.
Oliver decides he wants a little bit more food, and which causes an uproar, and he caused the magistrate to sell him. So he starts his path on his journey on his life, and he is sold to a funeral parlor owner as a pole bearer or a coffin follower, and also a little gopher. Not happy with that situation, he runs away from there, runs into another young man on the streets, the Artful Dodger. They become friends. Become sort of a little family. He's invited back to Artful Dodger's home, which is the actual home of Fagin. And Fagin has his own sort of orphanage, but it's a little bit different.
That's right.
He has his home of wayward boys who are been trained to do Fagin's biddings, in a sense, by going out and stealing and earning their living and earning their keep. But they have a home, they have a roof over their house, they have food, and they have an occupation in a way.
Well, sure. I suppose you could look at it that way.
That's correct.
They always say crime doesn't pay.
They're not living on the streets and
that's right.
Sleeping in sewers.
But that's sort of understandable in that day and age. I'm not surprised that Dickens wrote that the way he did. That was the way they survived. Mm. Wrong though it may be by our standards, that is the way they
correct.
Survived. And so you have to take that mindset into it with you.
Yeah, I mean, the young boys are out there stealing pocket handkerchiefs and pocket watches when they can and change or, you know, they're little scoundrels and little thieves fending on their own trying to survive.
Which adds to some humorous moments in the show and some wonderful songs, by the way. What songs do you sing?
My first song out is Pick a Pocket or Two as a training lesson of Oliver to how to pick a pocket. The boys do a demonstration and throughout the song, Pick My Pocket. Mm-hmm. There's that song. You know, also singing parts of I'll Do Anything and then the Cheerio Goodbye, They're Off to Work song. And you know, Fagin's biggest song is probably Reviewing the Situation, which is a crossroad in his life where he has to look at what he's going to do in the future.
Yeah.
Where he is now and where he's been and what he needs to do to change his life. And because though Fagin is surviving, there's elements of Fagin that's not happy with the way his life has been and wishes there was something different and something better about it.
Mm. Yeah, well, you can look at him two ways, I suppose. Playing the role, do you try to get more introspective? Or is that more difficult in a musical than it would be a heavy drama?
I try to, I'm not overloading it. I mean, the character's pretty straightforward as far as interpretation. But, yeah, I mean, I try to convey to the audience that he is a conflicted man and that he's not evil, you know. In the book, very evil, you know, very violent, and, you know, but even written in the songs within this, Fagin is against violence.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to present Fagin as a conflicted man, but a decent person, but he's still a criminal. He's still a thief.
Sure. There's various ways to look at it. We're speaking with April Bishop, the cultural arts coordinator for the city of Leawood, and Eric Van Horn, who plays the role of Fagin in the Leawood Stage Company production of Oliver. It opens this Thursday, the 16th. Not all that far away for you, Eric. Mm-hmm. Performances continue, and they do start at 8 o'clock p.m., or about the time it starts to get dark out in Ironwoods Park, which is pretty far south, and although there is a neighborhood nearby, pretty much wilderness down in that area. Is that one of the reasons they picked that particular park?
At the time, there wasn't any development in the area.
Uh-huh.
The neighborhoods came after the park.
Yeah.
But
the neighborhoods had no idea.
That's right. And there's still a lot of wildlife in the park. It's not unusual to see deer, and this summer, 1,000 rabbits on every square inch. But there are bobcats in the park. It's really out in nature.
Yeah, well, it's hot today, but the Weather Bureau tells us that later on in the week it should be a little bit better, especially after sundown. So Eric and the orphans with that heavy...
very heavy costume.
British costuming going on would be a little bit easier than that. Now, who gets credit for the costuming, for helping out?
Annette Cook is doing our costumes this year. She built a coat for Fagin that weighs about 20 to 30 pounds.
Well, 20 pounds, yeah.
Wow.
It's really heavy, and it's so large that he can hide orphans under his coat.
It probably needs to at various times.
It's a large coat.
I'll bet so. But there's a lot of costumes, and it's a period show. So do all the orphans have to have a
Yeah, the orphans are easy costumes because they're wearing rags, basically, you know, things that were found at the thrift shops around town.
Sure. Well, we've covered Fagin and the orphans. What about the Artful Dodger? Where does he fit into this story?
Do you want to?
Whichever one of you wants to.
Oh, well, Artful Dodger is... I don't know, the number one student of Fagin, you know, his right-hand kid. It's probably, out of all the scoundrels, the most trusted, the one that he sets up as a role model for all the other scoundrels to emulate.
Yeah. Well, this sort of thing, from what we read, it was common in England. Maybe not as organized as your gang, if I can call them that. But that was not unusual for that day and age to have a crime of that nature happen in those days in England, the era of which
certainly
Charles Dickens wrote. So it is...
there was a lot of poverty.
Yeah, very much so. That was the main gist of the writings of Charles Dickens. Mm-hmm. Look at his various works, you know, this particular show, The Christmas Carol, all dealt with poverty in some way. Mm-hmm. I can only suppose, not knowing him, that was his mission in life.
His childhood.
Yeah, he had childhood
mm-hmm.
like that.
He had a very poor upbringing and lived on the streets.
So the wealth he obtained was from his writings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Oliver opens, as we said, this Thursday the 16th at Ironwoods Park, 8 o'clock p.m. That's about the time it starts to get dark. Performances continue on Friday the 17th at 8 o'clock p.m. Saturday the 18th at 8 o'clock p.m. Sunday, a lot of theaters have a matinee, but you can't when you're outside. So it's Sunday the 19th at 8 o'clock p.m. A few days break for Eric and the kids. Then performances resume on Thursday the 23rd at 8, Friday the 24th at 8, and Saturday the 25th, also at 8 o'clock p.m. at Ironwoods Park at 147th and Mission Road in Leawood, Kansas. It's an outdoor amphitheater. Information can be had at leawoodstagecompany.org, and a number you can also call for more information, 913-663-9157. We're speaking with April and Eric about the show. Problems on Mission Road with construction going
on. Yes, unfortunately.
So the usual route will have to be taken differently.
Right.
So.
The intersection of 143rd and Mission is under construction, so patrons are best to go all the way down Knoll to 151st Street and then come back north from 151st on Mission Road.
Well, you would get to Knoll before you would get to Mission, if you were coming from the east.
Anyway. Unfortunately, you can take Kenneth Road, but the roads are bad, and you cross a railroad track twice. So I really highly recommend taking Knoll.
Okay. And then you would have to come back north, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay. So you remember that. Normally you would go from the main part of the city south on mm-hmm. Mission, but you can't do that this time. So April recommends going south on Nall to
151st,
going over to Mission, mm-hmm. which would be a slightly to the west.
East.
Yeah. And then coming back up north mm-hmm. on Mission Road, where you'll see the sign to turn into Ironwoods Park. It's a big place.
Right.
You have an outdoor amphitheater there, also a clubhouse for some of your winter productions. I've seen a couple of those in the park as well.
It's a lovely park. There are cabins. You can spend the night in the park.
Oh, do many patrons come to the show and stay in the cabin?
Not a whole lot. The cabins aren't air-conditioned, so in the middle of July, most people are at home in their air conditioning.
And the rest of the year, it's just a public park?
It is. There's a one-room schoolhouse there that's part of my oversee. So I do run the one-room schoolhouse.
Well, that was there, I guess, in
We moved
time.
It to the park.
Uh-huh.
It was built in 1877 and was brought to the park when the park opened in 2004.
Yeah, so there's some historical sites to see there in Ironwoods Park. The show, of course, is Oliver. You do a musical every summer, and then we touched on it slightly earlier. You also do shows in the winter, one or two.
We do a spring show and a fall show. Uh-huh. And this fall, we're also sticking with the 1960s theme, and we'll be doing a production that's written and directed by Eric Van Horn that's called British Invasion. So we'll be celebrating the music of the mid-60s, sorry.
It would be 60s.
British rock of the mid-60s. So.
Yes. If you saw the Stones concert in Kansas City, just not this past weekend, but the weekend mm-hmm. before, Mick Jagger talked
yes.
about, and he accidentally, on purpose probably, let go when they began. I mean, one of the popular numbers at the concert was Going to Kansas City, and then he told the audience that this was one of his opening numbers back when they started in 63, which puts Mr. Jagger and his musician friends into their 70s,
right,
doing the show a long time ago. Or they featured along with the Beatles.
They definitely will be part of the British Invasion, yes.
Yeah, but it's more than just the Stones and the Beatles. There are others that were involved.
That's correct.
Well.
I mean, it's, you know, the final song list hasn't been fully selected yet. But I'm choosing from, you know, anywhere from 60 to 70 songs of that era. And then also looking at the show as possibly in the second act, maybe the doors, the roads that were open, the doors that were open to acts to follow after that short period of time, which is actually labeled the British Invasion of
uh-huh.
3 to 4 years.
Sure.
You know. So the show is still in development and still writing it and taking the direction on it, but it certainly is at the forefront of the show is the celebration of the British invasion years and how music changed in America.
Oh, it did.
And opened up to the world.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that will be in the fall, and I assume indoors, because the weather
indoors.
Might be colder by then.
It'll be the first weekend of November, so mm-hmm. we will definitely be indoors for that show.
Okay, the arrangements can be made. They'll need to make arrangements for that.
Right.
So you want them to call this same number I have or go to this same website?
Correct.
Okay, the number again for that or any information you want about the show Oliver in the Park would be 913-663-9157 or online at leewoodstageco.org. That's how you contact to find all about the Leewood Stage Company and some of their, well, past productions are on there. I noticed some of those stories and the current show, Oliver, which opens this Thursday. Outdoor shows are always a challenge because the bugs, the rain, this year the heat. Has the cast made any special arrangements to help them get through? Lots of water, I would
hope. We always have lots of ice water and cold towels backstage to keep the kids cooled off. Well, the adults too, I'm sure. Actually, the adults take it harder than the kids do, but we try to keep them as cool as possible. It's a rough theater. We've got tents for dressing rooms, but we do have portable air conditioners in the tents and lots of fans set up just to keep it as cool as possible.
See, once kids do a show like that, where they're changing in tents and they're out in the elements, doing an indoor show is much easier than
yeah. There is an element to doing an outdoor show that's always going to be, in a sense, roughing it no matter where you're doing it. And Leawood Stage Company does a great job at taking care of its actors, its performers, and its staff and its crew, being concerned about their welfare, their well-being while they're outside, and do everything that they can to make it more comfortable for them. It will never be indoor theater when you're at the amphitheater. You will always be outdoor. You will always be roughing it. You will always be dealing with mosquitoes or dealing with this or that, the other thing. But it also gives it a sense of camaraderie and teamwork. Gives it a sense of accomplishment because nothing is easy out at the park when you're performing in an outdoor theater.
I'll bet so. Now, same for the patrons. Are they welcome to come? Bring blankets? Do you want mm-hmm. them to bring their own folding chairs? Nothing too high, I assume.
Well, actually, they're welcome to bring anything. We do have 300 seats, so if people arrive early enough, they can take one of our chairs that are already set up, and those, of course, are in the front, so that's the best way to do it. But I'd say bring blankets and lawn chairs for lawn seating, because I'm sure that we're going to have a decent crowd with the number of children. We've never had this many children in the cast before, so I'm sure it's going to be a popular show.
See, other theaters have told me that casting a lot of kids is actually a plus because all the families come. Mm. That probably goes into that thinking there.
Yeah.
You will have concessions available?
We will have concessions, all kinds of drinks and popcorn and candy and frozen things on certain nights and cotton candy on certain nights. And even the Daughters of the British Empire coming out with their little British little, you know, knickknacks to sell.
Sure.
Well, shortbread.
It is a British show, that's for
right.
sure. And they will be there as well.
That's
going
right.
on during the show.
And also, families often bring picnics, too. When they come, they bring picnics with them and come in early and set up a blanket, have a nice little picnic, then get ready for the show.
When do you open the gates and the
You
parking
know, there
begins?
Are no gates.
There are no gates.
So
you had parking attendants last time I
Yes,
met.
We do have parking attendants that will help instruct you, but if you really wanted to come out and sit in the heat, you're welcome to come at 4 in the afternoon.
Really?
But, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. It's really hot until about 7. By 7:30, the park is starting to cool off.
I'll bet so. Well, it sounds exciting for you. It all starts off this Thursday, the 16th at 8 o'clock p.m. Performances Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all in the evening at 8 o'clock p.m., because that's about the time it starts to get dark. Then a few days off. Performances begin again Thursday, the 23rd, 24th, and Saturday, the 25th. All at 8 o'clock p.m., all in Ironwoods Park, essentially 147th and Mission Road in Leawood. April recommends going down Knoll to 151st, going over to Mission, and then coming back north to reach Ironwoods Park because of construction going on. Right. They're not intentionally trying to make it a game here.
I'm beginning to wonder.
Thanks so much for being with us. April Bishop, the Cultural Arts Coordinator of the City of Leawood, and Eric Van Horn, who plays the role of Fagin. He is also directed around town and will be directing for the Leawood Stage Company in the fall. They are producing the production of Oliver, based on the stories by Charles Dickens, a production of the Leawood Stage Company of Leawood, Kansas. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
When we return after our break, the Fringe Festival also begins this week. We're going to begin our rundown of the shows, the times, where you can find more information. Lots of things going on at a lot of different locations. We'll talk about some of that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Let's face it, Minions are great. They're cute, funny, and appealingly yellow. It's too bad their movie isn't quite as engaging. Introduced in the animated hit Despicable Me, the pint-sized lackeys gained a considerable following, so they've been given their own vehicle. The movie Minions provides their backstory, showing their evolution as unsuccessful servants for a series of despicable villains. Most of the action takes place in the 1960s as they attempt to become toadies for a female supervillain voiced by Sandra Bullock. The action is frenetic, the slapstick humor should keep the kids engaged, and some of the 60s references will work for their grandparents. While amusing and the animation is often clever, Minions just lacks the charm and heart of the Despicable Me movies. Before she became a breakout star, the uber-talented and self-destructive singer Amy Winehouse said, quote, "I don't think I'm going to be at all famous. I don't think I can handle it. I would probably go mad," unquote. Those words proved to be tragically prophetic. The intriguing documentary Amy presents a heartbreaking account of her short life, captured mostly through a rich mine of home video, interviews, and news footage. Amy is a beautifully made and painfully intimate portrait of an extremely fragile soul. The Gallows is the latest in a long line of low-budget found footage horror flicks. High school kids break into their school at night to sabotage the set of a play that had originally been staged 20 years earlier. Seems the ghost of someone who died during that original production has other plans. You've got to admire the entrepreneurial spirit behind The Gallows, but it adds nothing new to the genre. Also opening this week, Selfless is a sci-fi thriller starring Ben Kingsley as a dying industrialist who undergoes a procedure to have his consciousness inserted into the body of a young man played by Ryan Reynolds. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
On the next Echo Radio KC, Richard speaks with Donnelly College's Monsignor Swetland about the Pope's encyclical on climate change. Tune in Monday at 6 p.m.
This week, the founder of Skeptic Magazine asks a big question. What's the driving force behind the morals and rights we cherish today? Reason or religion?
That secular idea that rights exist and the enforcement of it through law is what has changed.
I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right after your Fusion Funkmeister.
The Watts Rebellion at 50.
And so what we did was got an ambulance patrol to go pick up the injured people, but we couldn't do this because the law enforcement agencies there were shooting and we had to get out of the area, and there's a lot of our personnel that is missing. And so what we want to do now is set up a first aid station here. People are burning stores and people, little kids are falling down in the glass and the debris and stuff, and it's really horrible.
On From the Vault, Wednesday morning at 5.
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, host and producer of ArtSpeak Radio, inviting you to tune in to ArtSpeak Radio at our new time, Wednesday at noon to 1 p.m. That's right, from noon to 1 p.m. on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Yes, KKFI expands the arts all over town with shows on Monday, Wednesday, sometimes on Friday as well. You're on KKFI, KKFI covers the arts. Oh, and before I move on, we wanted to mention the names of the directors for the show and Oliver, Seth McClintock and David Shook, co-directors of the show in Leawood. We try to keep people as happy as we can. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. The 11th annual Fringe Festival is about to get underway officially Thursday, but you always have something before that. Cheryl Kinney is the executive director and founder of the Fringe Festival, and you're at it again.
Yes, still going.
And every year it gets bigger, so I assume this year it's even bigger.
Yes,
so
it
is. I always read the figures, and then she always says, oh, we've added since then. But what I have here is 116 performing groups, 480 shows, 20 different venues. So which category am I down?
21 venues.
21 venues. Well, I was almost right on that. What about the number of shows?
Moving targets. It's a little over 480.
And so 116 performing groups.
Groups, yes.
Wow.
Amazing.
You do a great job putting that together. It takes you a whole year to do that.
Yes, it does. And I've been on your show every year since the beginning. So thank you, Michael.
We wouldn't have it any other way. do you have anything you want to say at first? And then we'll get into some of the shows.
Well, let's dive into the shows and then I can wrap up with things at the end. That sound good?
Now, Bill Kloss, our former, what was your title?
Special events and volunteer coordinator.
Here at KKFI for many years.
Yeah, and I'm still doing special events, only I'm just not on the payroll now.
co-directing this
Well, show? Actually, no. Well, no. The show that he's talking about, it's actually a Full Killer Cross Currents production, and it's a fundraiser for KKFI.
Well, we love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was written by me. It's directed by my wife. So, it's a family situation. We have another family situation we'll talk about later. But the name of the show is The Baby Boom Generation, The Greatest Story Over Told.
Yes, really has been.
Yeah. And some of the subtitles are From Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll to Viagra Depends, and, well, we can't remember the rest. From Acid to Acid Reflux, and we deal with hippies and LSD, The Summer of Love, 12-Step Programs, Senior Moments, and Baby Boomer commercials about Viagra Depends and reverse mortgages using adult language. So it's no BS. Truth in advertising commercials,
as the baby boomers would do.
Yes,
very blunt.
And as you well, Michael and I, we've been on stage together many yes. years ago. But and my wife and I, we've done a number of shows. I really do believe this is the funniest show we've ever done. It's really a fun show. It's going to be at the Musical Theater Heritage, which used to be called Off Center and Crown Center, there where the movie theaters used to be years ago. And you can go online at kcfringe.org to find the times, because they're kind of all over the place. Our opening night is Saturday, July the 18th at 11 p.m. Now, you write a show that's directed towards 60-somethings, and then you put it on at 11 o'clock at night.
A little past their bedtime.
Well, I understand. But what I would suggest people do is maybe come to that same venue that night at 9:30, and they can see Jesus on Toast at the same venue and stick around and see the Baby Boom Generation. It is a fundraiser for KKFI. But anyway, go online, check out the times. Please come and see it. My grandson's in it, and the whole family's in it, and it's a great show. And I'm going to let some of the other folks
talk. I thought the publicity picture you mailed around said it all. It had the members of the cast holding up signs, and Bill's sign said, "Legalize everything."
Yeah, it says legalize everything. And we did it right next to a wall where it said, "No trespassing." So I thought
legalize everything, but no trespassing.
That's right.
I'm sure they'll go over big. Bill and Judy started the senior side shows. They began like in the 80s.
Yes, yeah.
And periodically moved up to the present time.
Absolutely. And a lot of this show was cast with the new thing that they did this time using the Actors Training Studio. And we've always had good cast, but I think this was an exceptionally good cast. So that really worked out well. I'm looking at Cheryl as I say that. So yeah. Andy Garrison did a real good everybody coming in and trying out, it really helped us. It's a difficult cast because the Baby Boom Generation, we try to have some 16-year-olds for back when we first got started participating in the 60s. And now that we're 60s in a different sense, we need some of us old folks, too. So it's a wide range of demographics
there. When
we did
shows back in the 80s, we pretended to be old.
That's right. Yeah,
now you really are. I should include myself.
Well, now we can cast we can fill out the cast ourselves without makeup and still be the old farmer.
Most of the shows are all of the shows at the new Musical Theater Heritage.
Musical Theater Heritage, yes.
Space in Crown Center.
In Crown Center, yeah. And it does include adult language, which means it's words that you probably hear every day from I don't know why they call it mature adult language. I've always thought that
was kind of
strange.
And probably some psychological nudity.
Yes, psychological nudity indeed. Yes.
Just kidding. All right. Well, next we have a young lady I don't think I know.
Hi, I'm Tara Varney.
I do know you.
Yeah.
Your hair is different.
I just got a cut. Thank you.
You're welcome. What are you doing this year?
This year, Brian Colley and I wrote a play about the Voyager Golden Record. The play is called Voyage to Voyager. And the Golden Record was launched on board the Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 spacecraft in 1977. And the project of creating the Golden Record was headed by Carl Sagan, who wanted to create this message of peace and understanding to the whatever extraterrestrial intelligent life might find it like a billion years from now. Uh-huh. Because the Voyager was headed into interstellar space. And in fact, one of them, Voyager 1, just got there, has left the solar system, and Voyager 2 is on the edge.
So the story of your play is what would be on this record?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well,
what kinds of things?
It's fascinating because when it was launched when I was a kid, and I was a space crazy kid, and I was really fascinated with the idea of, like, what would you tell aliens about us? And then I was actually, at my tender age, was really taken by the process of how people would decide out of all the things in the world what they would put on there. So they put on music from all over the world. There's Azerbaijani bagpipes, and there is Bach, and there is Chuck Berry, and
why not?
Right? And they put sounds from Earth, so they put there's dogs barking and whales singing and engines turning over and rockets launching and babies laughing, and they also put on some pictures. On some images, I think 116 images of people and conception. I mean, not like the act, but the actual, like, microscopic.
That might impress them more.
And then they got greetings recorded in 55 different languages.
If they speak any of those.
Well, exactly. But I think it was representative of the world. They're trying to represent the Earth in 90 minutes. So how do you do that?
My thinking is they'll think we're a very violent society because they'll hear Tutti Frutti All Rudy and they'll think... What were they talking about?
The Chuck Berry that's on there is Johnny B. Goode. So,
oh, well, that's better.
You know.
That's much
yeah,
better.
And the super, super cool thing is, well, there's several cool things about this. One is that we're doing it in the Gottlieb Planetarium at Union Station, which is so exciting because planetariums are so cool. So we get to use that space, and we're using the dome and star fields, and we have projections. And also, part of that is being used by local artist Billy Blob, who is animating part of our story. And we're projecting it onto the planetarium dome.
Wow.
It's so cool.
I remember the first time I visited the one, I'm aging myself, the Kansas City Museum.
Yeah, right.
Many years ago.
And this planetarium is not that one. Uh-huh. This is the one at Union Station.
Well, they moved the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a planetarium. It's on the lower level of, it's on the theater level of Union Station.
Right. It's next to the IMAX and, yeah.
So, we're kind of taking over Union Station. That's where the Fringe offices are now. And we opened yesterday. I'm going to jump in here real fast. We launched our visual component yesterday. We have our visual arts exhibit in Grand Hall of Union Station. And then at the end, I'll come back and talk about our information area. That's at Union Station, and our volunteer headquarters at Union Station. Plus, then we're doing shows at both City Stage and the planetarium and in Grand Hall.
Yeah.
So more later.
Really? So yeah, I'm not surprised that you're taking over Union Station. Yes, everyone just walk right in, have a seat. We have an open door policy. The times, Tara.
Yeah, we open, Voyage to Voyager opens at the Gottlieb Planetarium in Union Station this Friday at 8 p.m. And then we also have various other times and dates that you can find at caseyfringe.org.
I was gonna say, other than hers, any website of your own you want them to
There's jupiterkansas.com, okay, which is Brian Colley's website, who's a co-writer, and there's www.taravarney.com.
sounds easy to remember.
That's me, TaraVarney.com.
That's right. And your first performance again is?
Friday at 8.
Okay. Getting exciting for you. Getting excited. A voyage to the stars.
It's
what did Casey Kasem say? Keep your feet on the ground and your eyes in the stars.
Yeah. And head in the stars. Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. You, sir. Step up to the mic, and who are you?
I am Tim Russell, and I'm
Tim Russell.
With the Arts Asylum.
Oh, okay.
So we're an arts organization up in the sort of in the northeast, just east of downtown.
Been to your building. I actually saw one of Beth Bird's fundraisers up there.
Yeah, we've had some great stuff there.
What
so we're doing
up there?
Something a little different. We're actually trying to prepare an evening of things so that you can come to the Arts Asylum and enjoy Fringe all night. We actually have a slate of three different shows, and so I think maybe I'll talk about one, let somebody else jump in. And we'll.
Okay.
So let's start with, I'm actually unique in that I'm a venue, I'm a volunteer for Fringe, and I'm also producing a show this year. My show is called Amazonia, and it is the script is literally taken from the customer comment section of Amazon.com.
Oh.
So it's people's responses to the products that they've purchased. And, you know, you would think, hey, I like this, I didn't like this, but it goes so much more than that. And it's amazingly vivid and amazingly creative stuff. And so I pulled those together and kind of put them into a format. And so we've got three excellent actors who are going to be sharing those with you. Walter Coppedge.
Oh, Walter's always very good.
Yeah, Walter's, you know, one of the greats of Kansas City. We have Katie Kalaherka, who's, you know, a beautiful young woman who does some great stuff here in town.
She's and a great singer as well.
She is, yeah. She does some great stuff. And then Will Andrews Weiss, who works around town in different places, does a lot of stuff with Theater for Young America. And so the three of them are going to kind of be presenting those to us a little bit of, you know, their actor style along with it, but some really vivid stories, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is this particular presentation of, I'm just going to say Amazon for short, is that earlier in the evening followed by other shows?
It varies, actually chosen to do all of our shows in the second week of Fringe.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because, you know, we are Fringe lovers, and we want to get out and see shows like Voyage to Voyager, and we're not starting until the second week. We're starting on Tuesday. But Tuesday through Saturday of that second week, the 21st through the 25th, all three of our shows will be presented. And they're at different times. So, of course, go to kcfrench.org and get all those details and buy tickets.
In the past, when we've talked to people about having shows in the Arts Asylum, not always real clear on the address and how to get there. So could you quickly do that?
It is 1000 East 9th Street. It is basically at the corner of 9th Street and Harrison. And so it's two blocks east of the highway there on 7129 going north.
Yeah. You can't come in. The freeway separates you from most of downtown.
Right. We're just outside of the loop. We're kind of cut off a little bit. Yeah.
But essentially 10 blocks then east of Main Street downtown.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Now, look for the bell tower.
Now, are these folks part of your presentation?
One of our out-of-town artists. First arrivals from out of town, in Missouri.
Well, how do you like it here? Is it hot enough for you?
I love it. Yes, it's hot. It's shocking.
What are your names?
My name is Missouri Moyo Mbaye, and this is Jehudi Sehotep, who is my producer and husband.
Okay. And glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's wonderful.
What are you going
to
be doing during the Fringe Festival?
The Fannie Lou Hamer story.
Okay.
The Fannie Lou Hamer story is about a woman who was a sharecropper and who got to testify at the 1965 Democratic Convention about how she was beaten for registering to vote.
Oh,
her and nine other people. And and it happened in 1964, and after that they passed the Voters Rights Act of 65. So I wrote the play about 10 years ago. No, it's been 14 now.
Time
yeah,
flies.
Yeah, I know, right? And I won the Adelco in 2002. And so, which is the Black Tony Award.
Wow.
And, cool. I'm excited to be here. And I was at Morningstar Baptist Church yesterday, be it Palestine, and also St. James to spread the word.
Yeah, St. James, that's the one that Reverend Cleaver. Congressman Cleaver used to be the pastor of that
yes,
church.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He was Reverend Cleaver, but then he was Councilman Cleaver,
and then
Mayor
later.
Cleaver, and now Congressman Cleaver.
Yes.
So it's an honor to be at his church.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah.
So
we're excited.
So is it a
that.
One-woman show?
It is a one-woman show, and singing, acting, poetry, a little poetry. And to include the audience to join in with us. So,
I assume you studied her in great detail.
I did, at the Schomburg in New York City. interviewed the people that knew her. People like Julian Bond came to see my show, Congressman John Lewis, also the Honorable Andrew Young. Mrs. King saw my play, so a lot of the civil rights activists have seen the play.
Yeah, it's more. It sounds like it's probably more of an emotional.
It's emotional. It's funny. It's also funny, and it's a fun and painful show.
I'll bet so. Amongst all the pain, of course, where do you find the little tidbits of humor to bring out? Is that hard?
You want me to do a little bit?
Well, sure. if it's not too long,
real fast because we got several more.
Okay. White folks say they didn't believe in integration, but there's been a whole lot of nighttime integration going on. Strom Thurmond.
Nighttime integration.
Okay, I understand. Good lead in.
Does the director husband want to say anything? No?
I think she hounds it all right there. She
really does.
She's got it all.
Okay. When does your show open and where does it play?
It's opening on the 18th. It'll be at the Fish Tank, the 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yay!
The Fish Tank.
Yeah. And 5:30, 6:30, and 9:30 on Monday.
Okay. And the name of the lady?
Fannie Lou Hamer.
Fannie
Lou Hamer. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A website or anything you would like people to look at?
The FannieLouHamerStory.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. All the way, where are you from originally?
I am from New Jersey.
From New Jersey? Okay.
New Jersey.
You came a long way to do the
Fringe
Hill.
Yeah, but we live in Cincinnati.
Did you hear good things about Cheryl?
You know, I haven't heard, but I've experienced good things.
Okay.
That's better than hearing, right?
That's
great. Thank you.
That's great.
She's
thank you very much.
A wonderful human being.
Thank
we
you
need
very
to
much.
Clone her.
Okay. Do we have others?
I'm back with another show.
Okay.
No, you just got to keep
Tim is back with another show.
I want to tell you about The Grand Illusion of Sterling Crown.
Okay.
Which is being done by our very good friends. Actually, we consider them Arts Asylum family, EGADS Theater. Uh-huh. It is a show. It features Spencer Brown, who people know as Daisy Bouquet. And it is a loose story of his life. And it's going to be presented in female illusion and song. And I'm sure there'll be a little humor. And knowing Spencer Brown, there'll probably be a little bawdiness along the way. But it should be a really fun night. And like I said, that's going to be playing one of our three shows. So you can come. You can see Amazonia. You can see The Grand Illusion of Sterling Crown, and you can also stay for our third show. I'll talk about in a minute. Okay. It should be a lot of fun. Okay. I've seen a little bit. I've seen pieces, and it's very exciting stuff. So it should be great.
Okay, is that going to be at the asylum?
Also at the asylum.
At the Arts Asylum? At the previously mentioned.
So we have a couple of folks that are doing multiple shows, so we're bouncing back and forth here.
Okay.
So Heidi.
Let's bounce back to Heidi. I recognize her hair this time.
Heidi's hair. Always a topic of conversation.
Well, the paper did that too.
Yes.
What show are you doing this time?
I'm producing two shows.
Wait a minute. Introduce yourself.
My name is Heidi Van.
Oh, everybody knows her.
I'm the curator of the Fish Tank Performance Studio, and I am producing two plays this year at the Kansas City Fringe Festival. One is called The Penis Monologues, and one is called Love Me Tinder. And my shows will be at the Unicorn Theater main stage.
At the Unicorn Theater main stage. Well, tell us a little bit about the show, especially that first one.
Yes. The Penis Monologues, the title was a reaction, was inspired by the reaction of the Vagina Monologues and the nearly 20-year history that that show and performance has had in the theatrical canon of the world, worldwide it's produced. Something that you learn from the Vagina Monologues, or something that you can take away, is that the vagina is presented as something that is vulnerable, destroyable, and fickle, and penises are also the same.
They are.
So, this is new information to me. So, I've learned it because my collaborator and I, Peregrine Honig, visual artist, is my collaborator and artistic director of the production, and I'm the director. We put out a national call for writing from writers that we have harvested and curated and that will be presented at the Penis Monologues July 18th, 20th, 22nd, 24th, and 25th at the Unicorn Theater main stage. You can find out the times by going to caseyfringe.org.
And actually, it's now called the Levin Stage.
It is called the Live-In Stage. I am on the Live-In Stage at the Unicorn Theater.
The main stage is the Live-In Stage?
Yeah, the main stage, yes.
Okay.
I think it was renamed just this spring.
It was, in fact. You're correct.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And not the other stage.
Now we're going to jump back to Tim.
Now we're going to jump back to but Heidi's staying there.
Yeah.
Okay, we're jumping back to Tim.
I'm not leaving.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the third show that we've got going on at the Arts Asylum.
Okay.
And to me, there's three main selling points, and they are Chioma Enwu, Katie Gilchrist, and Molly Hammer.
Sure.
Yes.
Those are the three stars of our show, Proud, which was written by Corey Childs and Courtney Perry, our staff, other staff members at the Arts Asylum. And it is a jukebox musical.
Well, I had a feeling that singing would be involved.
We had to have plenty of songs. But we're dealing with some pretty tough issues, some race issues, some issues as, you know, women's rights issues, gay rights issues. And so we hit on some tough topics, but just, you know, the singing and stuff is so great. And we try to show that, you know, every little bit we move forward. And so there is some positive growth, but it should just be an amazing show. And, you know, as I said, all three shows will run every night starting Tuesday the 21st, runs all week, and there'll be a different start times, and you can look all that stuff up at kcfringe.org.
Okay. And again, is there an Arts Asylum website?
There is a www.artsasylum.org.
Even after the Fringe is over, you'll want to have people come see
you. A lot of great stuff going on there. We have a great relationship starting with Spinning Tree Theater. So, you'll hear about us a lot.
Yeah, and you have a good space there. It used to be a church or a school, but you have a nice stage and plenty of audience room.
Yes,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're very
And
lucky.
It's nicely air-conditioned, which is important for Fringe Festival.
Okay, now we go back to Heidi.
Yes, my second production that I'm producing and directing at the Fringe Festival is called Love Me Tinder. Tinder, like the application that I don't understand. So I was inspired to create this piece based on some screenshots I saw of a former intern place on the internet about the conversations that people have in the contemporary courting situation. And it's interesting being my age, and I'm sure your age, Cheryl, and looking down and seeing how, looking to the younger generation, seeing how they meet and connect with each other, mm-hmm. and what they ultimately want out of relationships, intimacy, and friendship. So this show was devised by the Fish Turns 3.0, which is my new crop, my new school, the new school of Fish Turns. Hashtag the new school. Hashtag Fish Turns 3.0. Rashidat Badejo, Brian Bunton, Duri Long, Shay Ketchum, Taylor Silvestro, Joseph DeMaria, Jake Sweeney, and Sarah Platt. And they have worked amazingly. I also had a contributor, Jessica Murphy, from Baltimore, from the Single Carrot Theater in Baltimore. And I'm so proud of them. And this is a great reflection of how they live in this world and how they meet people. And I have such high hopes for it. So both of my shows are at the Live-In Stage at the Unicorn Theater. And I do curate the Fish Tank. And the Fish Tank is filled with an incredible lineup of local and national artists as well. And the more I hear about this year's Fringe Festival, it's a beast. Like, it's going to be great.
It is.
And I hope I can make it to everything I want to go see.
Okay, both of your shows then are at the Unicorn, but your regular home is at the living room.
No, the fish tank.
The fish tank.
Yes. Yeah, my theater is the Fish Tank in the Crossroads. And it is also air conditioned. And it's a 50-seat black box theater. And like I said, amazing shows. Most of them are solo shows or there's some small duet shows. And most of the time I'm programmed with out-of-town artists who just raise the bar and have inspired me as a local artist to present work on that level.
Sure.
Okay. And real fast, Heidi, would you share what your fish turns are?
My fish
the
turns,
program, it's wonderful.
It's the Fish Tank Internship and Acting Apprentice Program. I have students from around the country. I have national people from different parts of the country this year who applied, and they work with me from the middle of May to the middle of August. And I teach them or they work with me, and they learn through that process on, you know, running a small theater, maintaining the space. And my kind of reward to them is the opportunity to be in a show. But this year, they devised it. And thank goodness for the young generation. I like working with students because that's where theater is going, and they teach us new ways ways to perform and how to reach an audience. And so I love this program and my Fish Turn program. They're a tremendous help to me. And I've received some support for the Fish Tank internship program. And I hope that support grows to some point where I can offer some stipends to them.
Sounds great.
I love what you do. It gives folks hands-on, real-life application.
Right. Things they can take with them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, jumping.
Where can they get one of these things?
Programs. What Union Station, our information booth is open now on the lower level of Union Station. We're right across the hall from the Irish Center. We've taken over Union Station, so
I'm
luck out
surprised.
When you come in. So you can come to 411. And it's also we've also added a boutique of local designer accessories, jewelry and fabricware and just a wonderful assortment of things. So while you're waiting, you select your tickets, so the shows that you want to see, and while they're printing off all your tickets, you can shop in the boutique. You can get tickets online at kcfringe.org. So there's three steps. You need to decide what you want to see. There's no way you can see everything. I think we figured out of the 116 shows, if you book every single slot, you can see 41 shows.
Wow.
So, yes, you can't even see half. So, a great way to get a heads up on that is to come this Thursday to our opening night teasers at the Heartland Forum Theater.
Great idea.
That's at Crown Center. It's formerly the American Heartland Theater, and construction is complete now. Last year was a little crazy getting in there because it was all under construction. Halls is complete. You can come in through halls, park on the third level, and come right in the glass entrance to halls, and then on in and up the escalator.
Is there a bar? Is there a bar function?
Yes, there's a bar going to be that night for opening night. Yes.
Hydration is important.
So
she's right.
We start at 5:30 for those who want to come right from work. We have our fringe walk, which is our version of the red carpet.
Okay.
Then at 6:45, we send everybody into the theater and start teasers at 7 o'clock. 2.5-minute teasers back to back to back to back, 80 of the 116 groups. It's a great way to say, ooh, I love that, or ooh, if I can fit that in. It helps you really sift and sort and select what you want to see. So you decide what you want to see. You buy a button. It's a one-time purchase. The fringe button supports the festival. It helps us cover our basic costs. It's a $5 purchase. And keep it because you'll need it for every show, and you'll need it year-round because we have button perks from area merchants year-round with your button. Then you buy your tickets. Tickets are $10. And the tickets proceeds are split between the venue and the artists. Kids, we do have family shows. So we have all-ages shows, parental guidance, R-rating, just like the movie theaters. Parents, check those. We have a couple of puppet shows, for example. One is for families. One is not. So check those ratings. Kids 5 and under are free. Kids 6 to 12 are $5, and we have free youth buttons for all children. So everybody has a button. Adults pay, 13 and up pay, and then adult tickets are 10. Check it out. We also, real fast, Youth Fringe. We have Youth and Teen Fringe this coming weekend, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, all youth free. Saturday night, the 18th, our Teen Night, all free at the Plaza Library. So there's something for everyone at the Fringe.
Yeah. We know it's a lot of information. kcfringe.org, a listing of things there. You can pick up one of these wonderful programs at Union Station or any of the websites you've heard given.
Yeah, website, you can go online and sort by venue, sort by genre, always to find what you need.
There's a lot going on.
Yes.
Cheryl Feamy, the executive director and founder of the Kansas City Fringe Festival. I want to thank all of you who have been on, too. I don't think I have time to read all the names.
Thank you.
All the shows you've heard about, kcfringe.org.
Thank you, Michael.
For all of that. Dr. Mike is here once again. Dr. Mike is very laid back. And after this half hour, we need to relax. some relaxing jazz from 1 to 3, and then the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI. Kansas City's community.